Well, we're stirring the pot a little bit over these steelhead closures. Of course, this is the first weekend of them in the Puget Sound streams. I mean, you got to travel far and wide for a steelhead opportunity. And you know, if you're going to stir the pot, I don't know anybody that has a better stick to do just that than former WDFW biologist and house bio, by the way, Kurt Kramer, who joins us now. We caught him on the way to the Everett ramp. We appreciate you joining us on short notice, Kurt.
Good morning, Tom, Mark.
Well, we're looking for some alternatives, buddy. I hate to see these closures. I realize that our wild fish are in a tough spot right now. But we got to come up with some options here, because shutting down these streams, I'm concerned we're going to lose interest in our local steelhead runs. And once we lose interest, there's not people advocating for it. Once people are not advocating, the emphasis is going to go away from them. What's your take on the situation?
Well, let's talk about that in a little global, you know, perspective, you know, statewide perspective, if you will. And, you know, I see it kind of as the proverbial three-stool attack. The first is to figure out how we best want to use whatever fish are available to the overall benefit of the recreational fishermen, which, of course, is a reduced mandate of recreation. If we have X number of fish that can die from fishing-related mortalities, how do we best use those? And that's a question. That's a social question for us as anglers to wrestle with, whether we use those fish as, you know, catch and release mortalities or harvest, but or this fish or some mixture of the two. And obviously, that's going to vary somewhat depending on the river basin and those kinds of things. Now, we're talking wild fish here. That's kind of the meaty one that the anglers can wrestle with amongst ourselves. And, you know, that's no simple task. We've been debating these issues going back to at least the middle 1970s. But that's one thing that we can do. The second one is, you know, you're right. By and large, steelhead across the state are not doing nearly as well as any of us would like to see. And there's a variety of reasons to address that. And we need to sit down and see what we can do in both the short term and long term to see if we can right that ship a bit. Look at what the limiting factors are, what can be addressed relatively easily, what can't be addressed, looking at, you know, life history diversity, hatchery programs, stocking programs, habitat issues, you know, just come up with a prioritized list that and try to address those that are most practical. And then the other leg would be, you know, and then our ESA listed stocks, we're allowed just so much impacts and you know, rightly so, the feds approach that fairly conservatively. But, you know, like in the case of the Puget Sound steelhead, you can make an argument that there's probably room for a few more additional impacts, but it takes someone to champion those that approach and put together a well-thought-out proposal delineating what some of those impacts may or may not be, present that to the feds and get some buy-in from the feds and move forward with that. And that would take, you know, a cooperative effort with the state and the co-managers, the anglers, and the feds. And, you know, not an easy task and, you know, a very time-consuming task, but, you know, you need to get that ball started and rolling. And you know, and the way to do that is to make that an issue and a priority for that is of concern to us as anglers.
Well, we've talked about this a little bit before, Kurt, and one of the points that we can agree upon, you and I, is the fact that what we've been doing so far hasn't been working. Hey, these hatchery fish, they're having an effect on the wild fish. Let's cut down the plants. Hey, we got to stop harvesting fish, so we'll go to catch and release. We've been catch and release on the Snohomish system, Skagit system, okay, Stilly, whatever, for a number of years. We've cut the hatchery releases. We've been fishing selectively, and still we've got problems. Doesn't seem like those two solutions are working for us. What else do we need to look at to increase our hatchery fish, or excuse me, our wild fish in our Puget Sound area streams?
Well, first of all, you know, we're not seeing the responses we want from those efforts that we've taken to date. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not working. It means that, you know, those issues that we're addressing probably aren't the ones that are limiting our population. So if you want to see more fish, I think we need to change our focus from what we've been doing. You know, hatchery reform has been going on in some form or manner for at least 30 years, and we're getting better and better at that, yet the runs have gotten worse and worse. To me, and as you indicate, the harvest has been the same thing, and again, the runs have gotten worse. It would kind of indicate those probably aren't the big drivers, and so I think it's time to sit down and refocus our thinking a bit. Not an easy task, but I think that's where it's at is you know, some realistic assessment of what's happened in the past, where we need to go in the future, and then a review of whether federal and state policies are adequate to get us there.
Good morning, Kurt.
Yeah, Mark.
You know, one of the things that I really worry about is the fact that a lot of guys when it comes to steelhead management have come so apathetic. It's almost like they don't care about it. And like you said, the only way anything can ever get done is if, you know, we really rally the troops. And, you know, it really comes down to when a guy goes fishing, they don't care if they catch a wild fish or a hatchery fish. They just want to catch something. It's just all about opportunity. And I think that's where the state, if you look at like steelhead management in Oregon or even in British Columbia, it's not all this just across the board closures. You know, there's some, you know, there's some catch and release seasons, there's broodstock programs, there's all this other stuff. And the state of Washington has been very hesitant to look at anything else besides just closures. And I think that's where the real frustration comes from guys that just really love winter steelhead fishing.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Mark. You know, I mean, you know, steelhead and steelhead fishermen, you know, they're kind of like the elk hunters and the waterfowlers in the hunting world. They're, you know, very passionate about their sport and recreation and extremely passionate about the fish. And you know, long-term survival of those fish we all care so much about requires that passion and figuring out some way to tap into that passion to move forward with the resource. You know, unfortunately, there was a real wonderful opportunity to shape some of those policy and stuff that you know they're kind of going contrary where you want to go. And when the state developed the statewide steelhead policy in 2005, but folks didn't step up to the plate at that time. They were largely you know, apathetic about that, and that's the big hurdle, is trying to figure out some way to overcome that apathy, to tap that passion. And you know, that's where folks like you and Tom can come in, is you know, get that word out there. We got to get, you know, involved. You know, you talked earlier about the various groups get involved in working together, and that's exactly what it takes. And you know, it isn't going to be 2 or 3 or 10 individuals that's going to turn this around. It's got to be a ground effort that is built from the bottom to the top, and it's got to be built on sound information. And you know, and unfortunately, I don't think anyone's got a magic wand to fix this in the short term. So it's going to be we got to recognize we're going to be in it for the long haul.
Okay, now you're heading to the ramp right now, Kurt. We caught you on the way to the boat ramp. What are you chasing today?
Well, we're going to even catch a blackmouth. It's the first time I've been blackmouth fishing since the waterfowl season opened, and now it's time to, you know, I guess that's one of the wonderful things about the Washington in general and Western Washington in particular is, you know, as you know, many of us were steelhead passionate. There is a wealth of different opportunities out there for the outdoorsmen to get involved in. You know, this last week I've been out birding. I've been cleaning up on some of the hunting areas that I hunt, and now I'm going to go fishing.
All right. He's Kurt Kramer, WDFW biologist, for how many years? Was it 40, Kurt?
Well, I wasn't quite that long. Some 30. Folks thought it was way too long, and you're talking about the sportsman never agreeing anything.
I didn't say that, Kurt.
Yeah.
The only thing I ever found the fishermen to agree on in all the groups I talked to is, one, that their brand of the fishing was very much fun, and two, that I was an idiot, and I guess I can't disagree with either one of them.
All the amateur fish biologists out there. He's Kurt Kramer. Thanks for joining us, buddy. We'll be in touch.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right.